You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
What can you lose and still live? That's a fair question, worth facing.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, give us life, real life, the life of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us and rose again. Forgive our sins, which are real, and give us the life that is real, with faith and love toward you and to our fellow men. In Jesus Christ, your Son, who is our life. Amen. What can I lose, says the man who has nothing. What can I lose? I'll try anything. What can I lose, says the man who has lost everything. There's no way to turn. His desperation is complete. What can I lose? We've all heard of people who said, "What can I lose?" and jumped out of the window. It happened in the dark times over 40 years ago, and it is happening again today. Presidents of corporations and people who never had anything take one last desperate chance. What can I lose? You can lose a lot. You can lose your life. That's what the Lord said. He told his disciples, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever would save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul, his very life? What shall a man give in return for his life?" That's tough talk going to the very heart of life. It has something to say to people who never went to church. And it says something to people who go to church all the time. You can lose your life, my friend, when you think you are saving it. You can win the battle and lose the war. Maybe that's not a very good picture. You can get everything and have nothing. People are finding it out again all over the world. They thought they were sitting on top of the world, and suddenly they found themselves at the bottom of the heap. You can have a big bank account and be absolutely desolate. One moment you think you have a family, and the next half of it is gone. If you have been banking on what you have, what have you got? It happens to ordinary people, not just to extraordinary ones. The man who works for a living, with a family to support and a mortgage to pay, suddenly finds a pink slip in his pay envelope. The pink slip tells him that he is no longer needed in that particular place. He's no longer wanted. He had better look around for something else. What is he going to do at his age, with his experience and his obligations? It could be an elderly person living in retirement on a fixed income, watching helplessly as his or her meager savings are gobbled up by the voracious appetite of inflation. It could just as well be the young man who feels his world suddenly coming to an end because the girl he was sure would marry him suddenly no longer wants to see him. It could be the grieving parents whose fondest ambitions and dreams have just been smashed to bits by the tragic death of a child. It could be the lonely spouse whose partner in life has just decided to separate, or has been separated by death. It could be the shocked and shattered person who staggers from the doctor's office after just getting the bad news. Losses like that can happen to anybody, anywhere. Life is a mighty tenuous business, and it should be apparent it is also mighty temporary. It hangs by the barest thread. Serious people, for whom life is not one long, continuous joke, ask themselves, what can I really lose? What can I lose without losing life itself? What does it take to ruin me, to destroy me? A lot of people in various parts of the world are having to live today without things they never thought they could live without. A lot more, very probably, in the future, are going to find out what they can really live without. In what may very well be the wealthiest nation in the world, a noted man got up and said, millions of Americans are out of work. Recession and inflation are eroding the money of millions more. Prices are too high, and sales are too slow. That man was President Ford. He was delivering his annual State of the Union message, which contained the most pessimistic forecast Americans have heard in a long time. Other nations may have seen things from the dark side a long time ago, and others will see things that way in days to come. What can you lose and still live? What can you learn to do without and still find joy in life? That's a fair question, worth facing. I remember a 75-year-old friend of mine saying to me years ago, if Clara should die, I don't know how I could go on living. He was a very affectionate man, and he loved his wife dearly. Well, Clara died. My friend Martin went right on living. He even kept his sense of humor because he had a greater grip on life than he himself had realized. He knew something. All his life, he knew the Lord. The Lord did not desert him when Clara died. Martin found out that the Lord meant it when he said, I shall never, never, never leave you or forsake you. What can you lose and still have life? Why, just about everything. But you can't lose the Lord. That's to lose life itself. I don't have to prove that to you. People all around you are proving it every day. Maybe you proved it to yourself sometime in your life when you thought you could get along without him. When you went through the whole fandangle of religion and never listened to the Lord or paid any attention to him. People are so taken with the Lord when they really find him, or rather when they are found by him, that they feel reborn. It's like coming back to life again. It's a great feeling, like having lost your life only to find it. When Martin Luther discovered Jesus Christ as he really is, Martin Luther said, it was like heaven itself opened up to me. That's life. People who know Jesus Christ don't say it in resignation. They say it with exhilaration. That's life. Real life. Life as it was meant to be. It's what Jesus Christ was talking about when he said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What can you lose? You can gain the whole world and forfeit your soul, your very life. What kind of an asset is that, to have everything and lose your life? What shall a man give in return for his life? That's a good question, set forth in all solemnity by Jesus Christ himself. He was one who could talk about life from personal and intimate experience. He spoke one day about what he could and would lose. He said he was going up to Jerusalem. He talked about suffering much there, about being put to death, and also about being raised to life again on the third day. Talk like that was a little too much for the little band that was following him. It sounded too much like losing one's life and gaining nothing by it. Matthew reports, Peter took Jesus aside and began to upbraid him. God forbid it, Lord, he said. This must never happen to you. I've always been impressed with that man, Peter. He was a great fellow, a brave one, ready to put his life on the line. This business of going up to suffer and die, not to speak about being treated shamefully and even spit upon, was just too much for him. That way you lose everything. We have given up everything to follow you, Peter said, and here you go to the one place where you're going to die. Jesus had considered that question. What can I lose? He could save his life and lose everything. Or he could lose his life doing the will of the Father who sent him and find it again. He chose the latter. My food, he said, is to do the will of him who sent me. Jesus Christ came to die, not for himself, but for all those people who don't care, and also for all those people who, like Peter, do care. He died for the sins of the world. He died to atone for the sins of the world. He bore in his cross, said Peter later on, our sins on that piece of wood, that we might die to sin ourselves and live to righteousness. It's a simple story and a very powerful one. His death is forgiveness and life for everyone. His forgiveness and his life come to everyone who accepts that atonement of his with confidence in him. Confidence in Jesus Christ is faith in God. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting our sins against us. That's the way people talk who have faith in God. They don't just believe there is a God. They accept his forgiveness, and they have his life. They have faith in Christ, in his atonement, his resurrection, his life, all the gift of God himself, including that faith. You can have it too. It isn't easy. It's hard. Jesus offers no easy way. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What can you lose and still have life? Why, you've got to lose everything, including yourself. It's about the hardest thing anybody can ever be asked to do. Commitment to Jesus Christ means forgetting yourself. That's not easy. It's hard. When somebody does you wrong, injures your person, damages your good name, what do you think about first of all? Why, you think about yourself, to justify yourself, to prove yourself by paying the other fellow back in kind. When somebody does you wrong, said Jesus Christ, take heed to yourself. Watch out for that revengeful self of yours. Forget yourself and be my man or woman, my boy or girl. If any man would come after me, let him forget himself and take up his cross. Every follower of Christ has got a cross to bear. Far from being a depressing thought, this is a challenge. It's his challenge. He bore his cross without self-pity for the joy that was set before him. He endured his cross, forgetting about the shame. And now he sits at the right hand of the majesty on high. He expects his people to take whatever comes their way in life, hard knocks, unemployment, sickness, a retarded child, whatever, as he did, without self-pity and with complete confidence that he is always Lord no matter what. If any man would come after me, let him forget himself, take up his cross with unconquerable joy, and follow me. That's life. That's real life. It's life in and with Christ. This is life, he said, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You can have everything the world has to offer, but if you don't have this, the life Jesus Christ gives, you haven't got anything. You don't have to take my word for it. Take his. This is what he was talking about to people whose life is a living death, who sin and have no forgiveness, who face the common denominator, which is death, and have no hope. Whoever would save his life, even with the most valiant efforts, will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake, with complete commitment to me, will find it. That's life. You can lose everything and still have life when you have Jesus Christ. That is a hard saying, but it is worthy of all acceptance by everyone, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom you and I may very well be first-class examples. What can you lose in Christ, my friend? You have nothing to lose but your sin and the fear of death that troubles people so much these days they don't even want to talk about it. Whoever will save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You give yourself to Jesus Christ in complete commitment, and you will find exactly what he says you will find. You will find your life. What's the good of having everything and losing your life. What can a man give in return for his life? Jesus Christ gives himself to you. He gave himself for you. And he gives himself to you right now. It's his life he offers to you. Have you been going your own way without thought or even out of fear that you're going to lose something? Now is the time to find life. That life becomes real to you when you forget yourself, pick up his banner, which is his cross, take up the cross, which is your cross, and follow him. The pruning shears of God produce big grapes. As Jesus said, every branch of mine which bears no fruit, God takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. The grapes of God are not the grapes of wrath, but the grapes of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. God has his own way of compensating for losses. When you lose for the sake of Christ, you always gain. When you lose your life for the sake of Jesus, God's Son, you find real life, eternal life. It is that now. It will be that and more with the full disclosure of Jesus Christ when he will be revealed in all his glory and splendor. What can you lose? You can't lose anything. When you forget yourself, take up the cross Christ gives and follow him. You can only gain. What you gain is life. I guess this is what Martin Luther meant in that great hymn of his, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. He found it out for himself, and he put it as strongly as it can be put. Take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife, though these all be gone, they yet have nothing won. The kingdom ours remaineth. As a lot of people have found out, and you can find it out for yourself, that's life. Amen.